Welcome to Live from the Living Room, Episode 2. I'm your host, Logan Olivier. On this episode, we're welcoming Zach Bright to the living room. They're a very good band, a lot of fun, really cool interview. Some good laughs were shared on this episode. I'd also like to thank our sponsor, Impact Promotion, who once again supported us by providing us with some sick swag. Enjoy.
This song is called Through the Night.
Kiss me, pretty lady, kiss me. There's a lot of words in that.
Can I pull the shirt over?
Yeah, like a lot of words.
Oh,
no.
The shirt. Not that's the funny. Shirt.
Wait, was that the shirt?
Oh, yeah.
There's someone next door.
That's a lot of words in that song.
Yeah.
That one's hard.
Gladsmore, Semi-Charm to that.
Your fault.
That one for sure.
Really?
Semi-Charm's got nice breaks in it. It's not as hard on the register
yeah,
as
it's all the
that one was. There's a lot of doo-doos in that one.
Doo-doos. All about the doo-doos.
Oh, yeah. So we'll play two more. If that works for you.
Oh, that's all we have.
My man.
Not okay with that.
Yeah. You're our new biggest fan, Moses.
That after a quick dog fight, we'll start the next song.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Place your bets now.
My money's on the cat.
Well, I guess they're not
so, solo, wherever you are.
French class,
that's okay.
I guess they're not my dogs. I shouldn't really offer them up for fights.
Yeah. Did you just offer your dog up for a fight?
No, I offered his dog.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Not a good idea.
Your dogs are much larger than these two.
Oh, my dogs are Wayne, yeah. Well, hypothetically, like,
it's a good thing Michael Vick isn't around.
Hunter or Eve,
right?
Yes.
It's too bad because he was my favorite QB for like a really long time.
He was so good.
He like revolutionized the position. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah. Ready to rock?
Yeah. This song's about. We're doing Last Call?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anybody here watch Jersey Shore? Or like used to watch Jersey Shore?
Yeah, I still do.
Yeah? Yeah. I wrote this song when Jersey Shore was like really cool and like it, all the dudes were about going to the bar and like trying to pick up girls and I was like, I could never do that in a million years. So it's kind of like Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus. I like kind of poke fun at the whole thing, which is the whole reason for this. So. It's called Last Call, Casanova.
Ready?
Let's, yeah, ready as we'll ever be.
One, two, three, four.
I check the
Thank you.
Real good train wreck ending there.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big train wreck there. Just like most nights at the bar for me. I'm usually a train wreck at the end of the night, am I not? So honest. That's fair.
So humble. We're both disasters. Mm.
As you take giant pulls from our beers.
Yeah. Cheers to that.
Yeah.
I'll drink to that.
Ironically, the next song is about beer.
It's true.
So. Yeah.
Is it? Yeah.
Well, kind of. It's kind of about beer in Thunder Bay and having a good time. No? You don't think so?
I don't know. I thought it was about thunder.
Oh. Laco.
Also don't know the lyrics, but that's what the song's called. Spoiler.
Oh god, that's awesome. You've never listened to the words, eh? You just beats, strictly beats.
It's strictly music, yeah.
Fair enough.
Good to know what the song's about.
Yeah, totally. Totally is. The song is called Thunder.
It's like watching Elephant Man and getting mad because he's not an elephant.
I've never seen Elephant Man.
Really?
Is that a movie?
Okay, on that note, is there a song?
Let's do it. We'll get this over and done.
Yeah, the song's about thunder.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Take a ride with me. Oh, I'll show you things you've never seen. You'll be my
Stand corrected.
Welcome to Live from Living Room, episode 2. I'm your host, Logan Olivier, and I'm here with the Zach Bright Band. Or is it just Zach Bright?
Ah, whatever you prefer.
Well, what do you prefer to your band?
I guess we're called Zach Bright, but we are collectively Zach Bright, so it's not just a singular person.
Zach Bright.
Yeah.
All right, please introduce yourself. Sure. We have John the drummer.
I am John Lacko. I play drums and cymbals.
I am Joey Miller. I play bass.
I'm Zach. I play guitar and sing.
And I'm James, and I play guitar and also sing.
Nice.
Side vocals.
Side vocals, side vocals.
Side
vocals and cymbals. I like
that. That's a new thing.
I really want to do
thing.
Like specific things.
Yeah.
It's
he's adamant that cymbals are its own.
Yeah. I don't want to be that guy that I play drums and cymbals.
Yeah.
Because everybody else just has drums on the thing.
Giving yourself some diversity.
Yeah,
I like it.
I like it. Yeah. Speaking of your music and the band, a contrast from the first act we have in the show, who is very much says that he only does depressing songs, you guys are very different on what you like to have out there for your own music.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, personally, I'll leave the sad, political, social, important topics to the people that are way more versed in that genre. I like to think of music as an escape for me, so something to hang out to and have a good time. And Solo's coming to say hi.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. First appearance.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
but yeah, I prefer happy yeah. music. That's kind of what Zach Bright is. It's about feel good, happy time type of thing.
It's fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fun to play.
There's enough shitty shit happening in the world that when people go to a Zach Bright show, I want them to, you know, have a half hour or an hour and a half escape from the rest of the world. So
I don't want
to
play a set and go home and feel depressed after I play for 45 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
so one of the things we were talking about earlier with music and commercial music, specifically pop music, and how you guys classify yourself. And it's really kind of a broad classification you give yourself, but it's very interesting. I liked it.
Yeah.
So tell me, how would you classify this band?
Oh, somebody else want to take that one?
It's like pop meets rock meets country, even a little bit of electronic.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Like if you want to get general with it, I'd say pop / rock. If you want to throw us somewhere,
for sure.
But there's definitely a lot of country that peeks in, primarily because James's dad runs the quintessential country cover band of Thunder Bay, he's got that kind of bred into him.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we got a little bit of country, a little bit of kind of punk stuff from Zach's beginnings.
Yeah,
the way I don't like to pigeonhole. I like what I like. Like I like lots of pop bands. I like lots of pop punk bands. I like lots of country bands. Like that's just the way it is, and I don't feel the need to be like, okay, we need to focus on being this specific type of band. Each song has its own type of requirements to make it kind of sonically the best song that it can be, so whatever that requires, let's do it that way.
But it doesn't necessarily have to have anything to do with weather, even though it's talking about weather.
No, there's nothing. No. I mean,
even though the title says otherwise.
Yeah.
It's
very, very misleading.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that's what you need, is to be misled to get back on the right path.
Yes.
Whatever you
guys say. Sometimes you gotta take four left turns to go straight.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's my life, yeah.
Y'all, I'm so directionally impaired, it is unbelievable. So I can relate to that statement.
We were talking when I met with you guys earlier about the Thunder Bay underground music scene and how it's different than what you see in other cities, where it's so competitive that bands are like, I don't care if you're good or not, don't step on my toes because I'll kill you type thing. And it's more of a very supportive thing. And you guys have experienced a lot of support from other groups and, and discussing with them, doing shows with them. You guys are doing a show tonight with the Honest Heart Collective, which is going to be pretty cool. And like every band in town seems to be so supportive of one another.
Absolutely. John, you take this one. You had a really good answer.
Yeah, it is a really, really good scene, and it's something that I don't think I noticed because I'm from here, so this is the only scene that I know, right? But I had some friends move here from Southern Ontario, and they did, they lived in Oshawa, they did Southern Ontario, they lived in Winnipeg for a while, and they said it was a very refreshing thing to come here to the scene because down south, when you're playing shows with people, it's super competitive. People don't want to share gear. They don't want to talk and hang out before the show, figure out what the other band is about, who they are, right? So it's a very kind of negative environment for a scene as a whole because everybody's just getting in and getting out and focused on themselves, right? And then they came here and they said everybody's welcoming. Everybody wants to talk to each other. You go to a show, the whole our audience is filled with band members, other musicians, right? And they all want to just talk to you and figure out what do you like, what do you do, where do you fit in and everything, right? So it kind of adds in, you mentioned something before about how in Southern Ontario people will call them, say, oh, I'm a musician. You know what I mean? They'll say that, I'm a musician. Whereas here you'll have people, oh, I work at Bombardier, but I'm a musician. Or, oh, I'm a heavy equipment operator, but I'm a musician, right? So I feel like that kind of plays a bit into that as well because we're a lot more of a humble and welcoming music scene. And I don't try to sound snooty saying that, but I've experienced.
Not at all.
But, it's cool to hear that from somebody else's perspective who's moved here and done the big city thing. And they say it's a very refreshing thing to be here where everybody supports each other. Everybody's sharing each other's albums on Facebook and everything like that. So it's, I think it's a good healthy dynamic to have a thriving music scene.
Yeah. I just like to add something to what John's saying too is I've got, every time I talk, there's an animal nearby. This is exciting.
Feisty.
Yeah. we got a couple friends too in Southern Ontario. And when it comes to actually booking shows and stuff, if you don't have a guaranteed draw down there, like say you can't at least get 50 people or 100 people out there, the promoters actually won't book you. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at trying to get a tour together down there. And I was talking to one of my friends and he's like, look, like we live in Southern Ontario and we can't get promoters to book us. Because they want pre-sale tickets, they want 100 tickets sold, they need to know you have to have so many likes on Facebook, so many Spotify streams, et cetera, et cetera. But like here, you talk to any of the big promoters on any day of the week, you can get a show.
Yep.
Like it's not an issue. And that's because way more collaborative than it is about making money. And I don't know if it just happens to do with the promoters down there, they need to make money because that's their only source of income. And maybe here it's a little bit different, but there's definitely more of a I feel in my opinion anyway, that it's more of a collaborative thing than it is a competitive thing.
Yeah. Well, you support people.
Yeah,
and
for
people
sure.
will support you. And it seems to be very much the smart way of doing things.
Yeah.
And Thunder Bay seems to have that down pat. We could probably be a little bit less humble, I think. But, but you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens in Thunder Bay.
Yeah, it is really cool because we do have lots of, like if you see the downtown, we have Heartbeat Hot Sauce, Sleeping Giant Beer, like all the cool local vendors like that. And they all support each other. If you go to Eat Local, you can get Heartbeat Hot Sauce there. If you go to Barbecupid, you can get Heartbeat Hot Sauce there. Everybody's sharing each other's stuff and supporting each other's stuff. So we have a very cool, even not just music, but a cool local thing happening.
Arts and culture in general.
Yeah, arts and culture.
Really, really collaborative. And it's a kind of a really exciting time to be in Thunder Bay.
So you mentioned Spotify, and that is kind of changing a lot of the ability to listen to music. Like back when I was young, you only listened to the radio, and much music was a big thing back then.
Yeah.
I don't know if it still is or not. Because
it's more reality TV.
It is a lot of reality TV.
It's a lot of reality.
Oh, yeah. Jersey Shore, we mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
But do you feel that Spotify is a good tool to get your music out there to a larger audience in a way that you could have it in your own way instead of it being a commercial radio song?
It's a bit of a loaded question. But so Spotify actually just filed a lawsuit in the U.S. because mechanical royalty rates have just gone up 44%. And Spotify, along with a couple other digital distributors, are actually suing, saying that they can't afford to pay the additional raise on the per stream rate. But you get Spotify pays 0.06 cents per 100 streams. So if you're looking to Spotify to make money, you won't, unless you're literally like one of the most successful artists on the planet.
But if you're talking 0.006
yeah.
of a cent per 100.
Yeah.
So if you have 200,000 listeners per month, you're still only making like $20.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think you have to hit like a really ridiculous threshold before you start making any kind of money on streaming.
But
even a million, you're talking about $1,000 or $2,000 or something like that. It's hardly anything.
They had an actual example in the article that I read, and the one particular artist had 17 million streams and they made $100,000 off of it. So 17 million streams.
That's terrible.
It's insane. But I mean, in terms of actually getting your music out there and having people access it. It's super, super easy. Like, John found a band from, where was it, Cincinnati?
Cincinnati, yeah.
That he just, like, recommended if you like so-and-so because it, whatever, pegs.
Yeah.
You're listening to this band, and makes recommendations. And he's in love with this band from Cincinnati, and that's kind of what makes it really interesting.
Yeah, that side of it's cool. And if you don't, like, the outreach that you can have is phenomenal. Like he said, I found this band that was just, I was listening to one band, and this band popped up, recommended for you. If you like this artist, you might like this. And I found it with cool album cover. Okay, cool. The band name sounds kind of cool. And I check it out, and there were just four dudes like my age from Cincinnati who have like a very small outreach right now. They're not playing. They don't leave really Cincinnati. They're playing in that area. But they have this phenomenal album that I've loved. And I never would have had any chance to hear of this band or know of this band if that didn't pop up on the thing. So now this is a band that I've invested in. I like them. I would buy their music. I would go see them if they ever came through or if they were close enough. But I would never have any reason otherwise to know who that band is, right? Whereas if you look back, like my dad said, growing up in like the 70s and stuff, you didn't know what any bands looked like. Like they didn't know what the guys from Led Zeppelin looked like and the Beatles, they were on TV. So that, like those bands were different. But unless you were on the Ed Sullivan Show, nobody knew what you looked like.
Which
right?
is cool.
Yeah.
Like, there's a kind of, like, mystique. There's a little bit of mystique. Exactly, Joey. There's a mystique to it. Like, people now, they want to be able to talk to the bands. They want to have that access. Like, they want to be able to have that interaction. Whereas back, you know, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever, there was a separation. Whereas the artist was on, like, a plateau, more or less. And it was kind of like you're grasping up. But now it's buddy-buddy more than it is, like, I'm the fan, you're the artist.
Yeah, like, I follow tons of guys on Instagram who are professional touring musicians who I like. I listen to their music. They put out tons of live stuff on YouTube, and they're big deals, right? And I can go on Instagram and message him on my phone. And then he'll open up his phone and message me back on Instagram.
Yeah.
And that's super cool. Like,
it
I can
is.
Message this guitarist who I love and say, hey, man, what amp are you using in this video? And he'll answer me back and be like, oh, thanks for hitting me up. Which is such a cool concept because you would never be able to do that before. Like, it's cool to see where the industry's going with that, because the whole streaming thing is going to take a long time to work the kinks out, I think. But it's where it's inevitably where the industry's going. So they got to work with it, right? So it'd be cool to see how they can make it more of an inclusive thing where you're making money and you can have a feasible kind of...
Yeah, they're not going to go
bridge
back.
The gap between, if they can bridge the gap between musician and job, kind of, right? If you if streaming can somehow work with that. But everybody wants to pay no money to listen to music too, right?
So. Well, not everyone, because you are seeing a lot of people still buying vinyl. And now CDs and everything else don't exist anymore, but vinyl still survives.
Yeah.
And
I think that
is
that's
a tool
a bit of a
that
niche
maybe,
too.
Yeah.
It's definitely a niche market,
definitely, but it's something that you could maybe then, you get popular on Spotify, you can use that to sell more records, which is something that you'd never, like 10 years ago, people saying, oh, I want to sell so many records. Like, no one sells records anymore. Mm-hmm. It's CDs or whatever.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of getting back to that.
Yeah.
Where the streaming can help that.
Because
you're getting
the
huge commercial success. And that leads me to my next question, is about commercial success. And a lot of bands, when they start getting to that verge of making it big, and producers and everyone else will say, hey, we need to change your sound to appeal to a wider mass. How does that make you feel as artists, getting your music out there, to maybe changing it to a little bit more mainstream, if that's what your producer is saying, and how you feel about that?
I think that that's... It depends on who you are as an artist, for sure. But I don't think it's something to be too... to fret too much over, because that's something that's going to happen regardless of who you are. And it's something that's always happened. It's not like producers were a new thing. Producers were around when Zeppelin was making albums, when all them were making albums, right? They were there giving their input. So that's kind of cool. But I think it does vary a lot on who you are as an artist. Like, if you go in, you can, like, anybody, if you have money, anybody can go hire a producer and get a sweet album out of it. You know what I mean? If you got the money. So I think that's where stuff changes there, because if you, like I said, you can pay money and get a sweet album, but you're going to go in there and you're not going to do much at all. Like, the producer's going to tell you, okay, you sing this, you play this, you do this, right? And they'll bring in session musicians and they'll fill in all the gaps and make a sweet album for you, right? So you can, I think it's not a black or white thing. It all depends on who you are. Like, you can,
and what you want to accomplish,
yeah,
right?
What,
like,
you want to accomplish.
That's a big part of it. Like, for me, I've always wanted to play like the big stadiums, like the 20,000 seater. So I understand that playing popular music is kind of a prerequisite to sell and fill 20,000 seat arenas. But I don't have an issue with that, because I like that type of music to begin with. I don't like... Some people consider pop music to be shallow, but it's actually difficult to write a really good pop song that sticks and that people can kind of identify with, and that becomes a global success. Like, it's not just something that happens randomly and is a fluke. Like, there's actual, like, there's ways to...
Well, especially with the market being, like, huge. Like,
absolutely.
Compared to all other genres, like, your pop market is way more vast than a lot of the other genres are.
So many subgenres, right?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. Massively competitive as
well. It's astronomical.
But at the same time, when you hit that stardom or whatever, you do then have the ability with the fan base that you have that you could probably do some more artsy stuff that you feel more passionate about.
So, yeah, which is kind of weird, right? You kind of gotta break the ice first, right? And then once you're there, you can kind of do what you want. But
the Beatles are a prime example. Like, their first records were straight pop rock, like, want to be on the radio, want to sell. And then they come out with Sgt. Pepper or the White Album, and you're like, these guys are doing drugs, and they're having a lot of fun, and they're putting out some experimental stuff, and it's crazy successful, right? But look, you earn that respect and that leeway to be able to put that type of stuff out after you've kind of paved your way, more or less. And, I mean, it is what it is. Like, that's just the reality of the music industry. Mm-hmm. So,
but I think that's something...
Go ahead.
I think that's something you got to expect to work with producers. If you're hoping to do any kind of, be a musician as a career, if you want to make it in any sense, I think you got to expect that somebody's going to come in there and mess with your stuff once in a while. Like, right? But then again, there are the artists who... are so good that they write their stuff and they're able to go into a studio, just get musicians to fill in the gaps, and then the album's done, right? And they wrote the songs. Some people have that ability to do that, and they just have that pop sensibility to be able to write good melodies, good stuff like that, right? Like, a good example of that would be Charlie Puth. He's on the radio. Like, I know Charlie, he graduated from Berkeley with a degree in music, right? And now he just writes banger pop tunes. Like, he's got an album.
Really good pop tunes.
Yeah, like, they're all simple to the... Like, if you... Like, people who wouldn't be trained musicians listen to them, you're not going to hear much that sounds outside of a pop song, right? That's out of the realm. But it's because it's all 4-4 time. There's no... Like, there's crazy key changes in some of them. But it's all pretty straightforward, kind of simple stuff, right? But he adds... There's a lot of cool... inflections and the way that the bass and the drums can work together to create a groove, and the way all the synths react with that he, as somebody with a music degree, can understand, right? And then it also has the ability to be played on the radio, right? But then you also have guys like us who are musicians who would listen to that and be like, oh man, Yeah, Ruby. You get that stank face going.
Yeah, me mugging, so nice, man. Me mugging, yeah.
Man, that's a nice groove, you know what I mean? Where it can also just be played on the radio to be in, you're in a superstore listening to it, right?
Yeah.
And like, okay, that's a cool song, but then you listen to it more and it's as
layers
vanilla as it is, you can have guys like us or, yeah, man, that's sweet. Like, I like what he's amazing. Doing there. Yeah.
That little part at 56 seconds in.
Yeah. So it's cool how it can still be pop music, but that realm itself can get so spread out, right?
Like, right. And speaking of pop music and nicknames, Zach, you have a very specific nickname that someone gave you one time that I think is hilarious, and I'd like it explained a little bit.
Mailer Swift.
Yeah.
You're talking about Papa Jack.
No. Well, there's that too. When the first album came out, Voices, we were sending it around to kind of seeing who we would get to mix it. You know, sending it around to a few different engineers and stuff. And one particular one came back to me. He's like, man, you're like, it's kind of like a male version of Taylor Swift. Like, you got some really good instrumentation stuff, but then you've kind of involved the electronic stuff. He's like, you're kind of like Mailer Swift. And I was like, oh, that's hilarious. One, because I love Taylor Swift.
Who doesn't?
And two, because they actually understood what I was, like, the purpose of the album was to kind of bridge a whole bunch of different genres. And it was right around the time that Red had just come out, and she was kind of pushing into 1989. So she was kind of starting to move from country into the more pop side of things. So
he's a little bit of a fan. A little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. I've only seen her 3 times.
Yeah, that's it.
That's fine. But yeah, on Netflix, it was cool. Is great. What's that?
The tour thing on Netflix.
So I've never seen it.
So good. It's you got to watch it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. There's so much. Now I'm
embarrassed. There's a lot of good music stuff on there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the War, like Foo Fighters, my favorite.
That too.
Yeah, yeah, and like the Amy one, the one about Whitney.
So good.
Right
that
there.
Too.
Sweet.
But the new Michael Jackson one, don't watch it. It's nonsense.
There's a lot of stuff going on with MJ.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I just read a Forbes article on it. It's bad.
It's gonna be awesome.
So I'm gonna sign off with one specific question. I want to know what your opinion is and also why. Who would make a better frontman for a band, rock band, Gandalf or Optimus Prime?
Gandalf.
Whoa, that was quick.
Because he just looks like he's just badass. I mean,
it looks like he's in a Finnish metal band.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. He looks like he's in a Finnish metal band. Gandalf gets down there.
He's like
90
years old. Yeah.
Yo, but like Keith Richards is almost 80 years old.
It's true.
Same with Mick.
Yeah, like, Gandalf's more human too, right?
Yep.
So I think
I'm surprised.
Yeah,
I
would
have
seen the human thing personally.
I'm going
to
see like maybe
Optimus
Prime, like a lead singer for like a techno band.
You should have compared two wizards, like Gandalf or Dumbledore.
That's a good, yeah, that's a good one.
Right?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Like Optimus Prime or whoever the leader of the...
Megatron.
Like.
Yeah. I think I'd pay top money to see Dumbledore.
Oh,
Dumbledore
yeah.
would be
yeah.
sick.
Yeah.
He would be awesome.
He may have
Watch
changed
Dumbledore
my mind.
Dumbledore throw down.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
thank you guys. Zach Wright on Live from the Living Room. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah,
yeah
man.
Thanks,
for
man.
Sure.
Woo. Hey.
Woo-hoo. Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a yak in my chest.